So we are holding on page Mem Aleph in Brachos, the paragraph labeled Daf Yud Dalet Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. For those who are using other editions, it's near the end of Ois Samach.
Side note, today it's Masechet Brachos in the Alter Rebbe. Today, Dayim Yom.
Today was about a bracha. Yes,
it's Brachos from the morning, Brachos in the evening. We're all Brachos.
Okay, so the Gemara discussed the point. The Gemara previously discussed the point that when you say Shema, you have to finish off with Hashem Elokeichem Emes. You have to say, even though Emes belongs to the bracha afterwards, you have to say it together with Ani Hashem Elokeichem, because you have the Lashon HaPasuk and Nevi'im, Hashem Elokeichem Emes. So therefore, we want to express the same thing when we say Kriyat Shema.
So how do you do it in
the Gemara's question. So first, let's deal with this little piece of Gemara over here, and then we'll talk about what we do halacha l'maaseh. Yeah. So the paragraph is labeled Daf Yud Dalet Amud Beis. It's four lines from the bottom of page Mem Aleph. Yeah. So the question is Chozer v'Omer Emes or Ein Chozer v'Omer Emes. So now the person has finished off Hashem Elokei Ani Hashem Elokeichem Emes. Now, does he say the word Emes again as the beginning of the bracha? Because Emes is, after all, the first word of the next bracha, or does he not? There are Rishonim who learn that the question is not in the usual situation. In the usual situation, you say Ani Hashem Elokeichem Emes, and of course, you continue afterwards with the Yatzid. The question would really be if you made some kind of hefsek after that, would you repeat Emes again in order to begin the next bracha or not? So Amar Rabba Bahu, Amar Rabbi Yechanan Choizer. So Rabba Bahu, Amar Rabbi Yechanan says in the name of Rabbi Yechanan that you would say Emes again. But Rabba Omar Eni Choizer, Rabba says you would not. Now what we do, wait, actually. Ahu Denochus Kamei De Rabba. One time there was a chazan davening by the Omer in front of Rabba. Shamei Rabba De Omer Emes Trezimi. And Rabba hears that the guy says Emes twice. Omar Rabba, without a break between them, Omar Rabba, call Emes Emes Tafsilahai. It looks like this guy has all of a sudden gotten like a seizure of saying Emes, like he said, it actually says Riyata Shal Emes, like a running, like a seizure of Emes, like he's saying it over and over again and not considering that that's not the right thing to do. Which Habona points out when you think about it, the same way as you're not supposed to say Shema twice or Echad twice, because then that doesn't imply Achdus, the same way to say Emes twice is also you think you're most if you're really Gerea. So what do we do halacha l'maisa? So like this, we know a reason why we want to repeat words. We want to say three extra words to have 248 words in Kriyishma. The three parashiyos have 245 words. We want 248 keneged the ramachei. So what you do is therefore. So there's different minhagim. Our minhag is therefore that a yachid repeats ani Hashem alekechem, and that's the extra three words. The chazan repeats Hashem alekechem emes. So that way, so the chazan is in fact saying twice emes, but he's not just saying emes one after the other, like we're saying here in the Gemara, and as Rabbi criticized this guy, but rather he's saying Hashem Elokeichem in between, and that's valid. That's a valid way to do. And then when he says it out loud like that, then he's motzi. When you're davening with a minyan, you don't have to say Hashem Elokeichem twice, because the chazan is saying Hashem Elokeichem emes for you, and that will cover your extra three words. So when you're davening the chiddus, then you say Ani Hashem Elokeichem twice. So you say Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Ani Hashem Elokeichem Emes. When you're bichidus, I believe you say Ani. Yeah, because that's the whole point. You need to repeat three. You need to.
But you're saying Emes.
Yeah, you're fine. But Emes itself, you're only saying Emes because it's the beginning of the next bracha. It's not really. I don't know that it counts as one of the words. So This is how I've learned to do anyway. I mean, I suppose it's possible that I've learned wrongly, but my understanding is that the bichidus, you say Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Ani Hashem Elokeichem Emes, and Bitzibur, you don't. You just say Ani Hashem Elokeichem Emes and listen to the chazan saying Hashem Elokeichem Emes. Which, by the way, works also if you're in the middle of Shema and the chazan reaches Hashem Elokeichem Emes, you be quiet for a minute, you stop where you are, you hear him saying Hashem Elokeichem Emes, and then you continue where you were, and that also counts towards your three words.
He says any quietly.
And then you have in the Velt, there are different minhagim about it. They have some people have the minhag that the Yechidus, you say Keil Melech Memon before Shema. And then you have, there's the idea that's also brought in Shulchan Aruch that in case you didn't hear the Chazan, Hashem Lekechem Emes, then you can be Yevid the Yotze with the 15 Vovs of Vyatze Venochan, etc. And how that exactly works is itself. There's a discussion in Shulchan Aruch how exactly that works. But anyway, the idea is that you should somehow, you're having 248 words to correspond to the Ramach HaBarim. So again, we're saying over here, the Chazan is not, shouldn't be saying Emes twice in succession, but he can be saying, I mean, he can be saying with Hashem Elokeichem in between, and that's valid, and that he does that to be Motzi the Tzibur. Gemara continues, Omer Omer Ula.
That's only in Krishma, Shachis, and Aruch.
So actually, there are different Krishmas that we say during the day. Some of them we repeat the words, and some of them we don't. So there's in Hayom Yom, it gives the list of which ones we repeat and which ones we don't. By Rabbeinu Tam's Tefillin, we don't repeat. I think also maybe by Krishma Shalamita, we don't repeat it, but we say MS. I think so. It lists in Hayom Yom, which are which. I can't keep track. Yeah. So the Gemara continues. Oma Ola, Kola Koda Krishma B'loi Tefillin. If a person says Krishma without wearing, in the morning, obviously, without wearing Tefillin, and we're not talking about, now previously the Gemara talked about that you can have a case where a person didn't have tefillin available when he started saying Shema. So then you have the dinim that then he says Kurishma anyway, so in order not to miss this man, and he'll put on tefillin later. Here we're talking about where a person has tefillin available and he chooses to say Kurishma without them.
What if he's sick or he just gets up right before Kurishma, right before this man, so Kurishma? So he says without tefillin, what's the big deal? Better than like nothing?
That's fine. What we're talking about over here is where a person has the opportunity to put on tefillin and he's not. And he's saying Shema, so kol akoda krishma b'le tefillin ki ilu made edus sheker ba'atzma. So it's as if he's making it's as if he's stating edus sheker on himself. Now Rashi uses the expression lishna malia, that it doesn't mean really mean himself as in the person saying Shema. It means against Hashem, like so to speak. He's saying that Hashem did not command these mitzvahs because then why is he not wearing them? And there's also Eitz Yosef brings over here from Abinu Yonah that it means that he's saying Eidus Sheker against himself, that the Eidus Sheker Ba'atzmoy means that he himself, he's saying that there were these mitzvahs to do, but then he's in effect saying what I'm saying is not true because I'm not actually wearing tefillin at the time.
So we
can
say
Shatam Lois
and you don't wear it.
Right. So that's Marsha says something. Marsha says that something similar. It doesn't mean Adas Sheker against Hashem. It means so according to Rashi, that's what it means. It means that we don't want to say a disrespectful thing, made as Sheker by Kodesh Baruch Hu. Therefore we use the expression Ba'atzmoy as a euphemism. But Rabbeinu Yonah then explains that it means Ba'atzmoy, it means that he himself is saying Adas Sheker on himself. That he's saying that I'm saying these words, that these mitzvah, the mitzvah to wear tefillin, and I'm not doing it. Then there's different other explanations. Iyun Yaakov points out another thing. He says like this: it can also mean, we learned a few days ago that the Chachamim originally wanted to put Aseres HaDibris in Krishma, but they didn't because we said the Goyim are going to start claiming to the Amei Oretz that that's the only part that was of the Torah that was given by Hashem. Now they can't claim that about Shema, even though we're saying Shema, because we can say, listen, you know why we're saying Shema? Because we're wearing tefillin, and since it mentions the mitzvah of tefillin and Shema, then therefore it's appropriate to say it at the time. So if a person doesn't wear tefillin at the time, what is he saying? In effect, he's so to speak, agreeing with those guys. Yeah, Shema is something special. It was given by Hashem, but the rest of the Torah, Chas V'Shalom, was not. And that's Eidus Sheker. That's the Iyun Yaakov mentions that point. Also, then Maharsha points out the matter of Eidus Sheker. We know famously that a Yid has three mitzvahs that are called Ois. You have Bris Milah, Tefillin, and Shabbos. And we always have to have two of them at any one time, which is why Shabbos loves Man Tefillin, because on Shabbos, you have the Ois of Shabbos and on Yom Tov, and according to many opinions, Chalamoyed, which is why we don't wear Tefillin Chalamoyed. So then you don't have, so then you have the two Oisis over there. So if a person on a weekday, when you don't have any other Ois other than Bris Milah, when he's not wearing Tefillin, when he's saying Krishma, then in effect, he's missing the one A. And therefore, it's like Eidus Sheker. Continues the Gemara. Rab Chiya ba'Aba Omer Rab Yechanan. Another way of looking at it says Rab Chiya ba'Aba in the name of Rab Yechanan. Ki ilu hikriv oila b'loy mincha v'zebach b'loy nesachim. When a person says Shema, and again, we're not talking about where he's in a hurry because he's going to miss this man. We're not talking about where he doesn't have tefillin available. We're talking about just a person is saying Shema at the regular time, and he has the opportunity to put on tefillin and chooses not to, is as if he's bringing an ola without the accompanying korban mincha and zebach or shlomim without nesachim. We know it's a shlosh prakim of Rambam these days that when a person brings most kinds of korbanos, they have to bring with it nesachim, a mincha of flour and oil, and nesachim of wine. So when a person is saying shema without tefillin, then it's as if he's bringing the korban but not mincha and the nesachim. Before we discuss over here, Tosfos first of all discusses the question: why are we saying the fact is both the Ola and the Zebach require Mincha and Nesachim? So why are we using the expression Ola b'loy Mincha v'Zebach b'loy Nesachim? Ola v'Zebach b'loy Mincha v'Nesachim, you should say, as Tosfos says, because that's the Lashon HaPasuk. Ola, because the Lashon HaPasuk is la'Ola la'Mincha, la'Ola la'Mincha. We say in every day davening at the end of the Ribono Shel Olam. So therefore, so the Gemara used a similar expression, pairing together the Ola with the Mincha and pairing the Zebach with the Nesachim. You know, actually a different pasuk rather. You have a pasuk that says at the end of the parasha of the Yom Tovim in Emor, you have the Elo. These are the Korbanos that you have to bring: Ola or Mincha, Zebach and Nesachim. So there it pairs up Ola with Mincha and Zebach with Nesachim. So Marsha says, okay, that just pushes the question one thing further back. Then why does the Pasuk pair it up like that if the Ola requires both and the Zebach requires both? So he says the vote is an Ola is completely burnt on the Mizbeach. The Mincha is also like that. The Mincha has the Maila of the Mincha, the Minchas Nesachim is completely burnt on the Mizbeach. And more to the point, also, the mincha represents, we know that a mincha is a poor person's korban, and the Eibishter considers it malan, the olav kilu hikriv nafshoy. So therefore, so you have that. So therefore, so the ola, which is completely burnt to Hashem, which shows complete mesiras nefesh to Hashem, then therefore it's paired up with mincha, which shows the same kind of idea. And zebach, where after all is a shlomim, that you eat the majority of it, so that pairs up with nesachim. It's true that the nesachim you don't drink any of either, but you don't find the expression nefesh by them. They are poured on the mizbeach, but they're not. You don't find anything where it ever says that a person brings a nesachim is considered like he was makir with his nefesh. So therefore, Maharsha says that's why they're paired up that way. There is actually a maimer of the Tzemach Tzedek where he takes a bit of a different tack on it. The vote is, we're saying the mincha is burnt on the mizbeach. The nesachim are not burnt, they're poured on the mizbeach, but they're not actually burnt up in the fire of the mizbeach. Therefore, so he discusses the ola of it. So the ola is more, the ola and paired up together with the mincha represents halal milamata lamayla, which is more of what Krishna is all about. And then the zebach and the sachim is more ha'am shochem l'mayel l'mata, as we see. For example, the wine is poured onto the mizbeach, and that's more avodas atfila, which is l'mata l'mayel. So in this connection, question. Yeah.
Can Krishna also say about mezuzah and shabbat and living up? Right away, do those mitzvahs, because otherwise you say.
So it does say it says in Shulchan Aruch that right after, we learned actually earlier in the Masechta, that right after davening you should be learning Torah. That person goes mebeis haknesses lebeis medrash. But fine, you know, but at least the mitzvahs that are begufa. Keep in mind, tzitzis, we said there's a number of. First of all, you are wearing tzitzis at the time. You're wearing a talis. If you're not, so the same thing, if you're not wearing tefillin, I mean, you could say, but the tzitzis, after all, when you think about it, is not chovas gavra, after all. It's only more, you know, if you have it's a mitzvah kiyumis. If you have a four-cornered garment, then you have a mitzvah to put tzitzis on it. Mashen kin tefillin is a chovas gavra. So there, a person is not putting on tefillin. The person doesn't put on tzitzis. Okay, he doesn't happen to have a four-cornered garment, but the person doesn't put on tefillin, then we're saying there's something more serious. Mezuzah also. I mean, listen, first of all, you have cases where you don't have to have a mezuzah right away. Search for bias. What's Lord, for example, practically speaking, wherever you're davening, most likely you have a mezuzah there anyway, unless you're davening in a treehouse or something. What? If you're in a hotel, right. Yeah. Yeah. Ain't a phenomenon. Yeah.
Just by having a mezuzah in your house, no matter.
This is also true. That's a good point, actually. Yeah. You're Mekayim mitzvah mezuzah by having one in your house, even though it's not along with you. That's true. There is a sikha where the Rebbe talks about the idea. There's a Mishnah in Kalim that talks about people would carry around a mezuzah with them for Shmira, but in reality, the mezuzah protects a person wherever he goes without needing necessarily to carry a mezuzah along with him. So yeah, that's a good point.
I think it's a good think you were saying that someone definitely doesn't wait to see houses.
So there's something else. There is a Gemara in Menachos where I think the Yoah Novi one time is talking with one of the Chachamim, and he says, why aren't you wearing tzitzis? And the guy says, because I don't have a four-cornered garment. And he tells him, tzatziki l'mifter nafshach mitzitzis, what are you looking for excuses to patter yourself from tzitzis? It's true. Technically, you're not obligated unless you have a four-cornered garment, but still, a yid should make the effort to have such a garment in order to be mekayim the mitzvah, which is, of course, what we do with talis cotton and talis garment. So the Gemara continues. By the way, one explanation from one of the Mefoshim is that the Nafka Minna. So we had two things. We had one saying, one Ula was saying Kilo made Edis Shekhar Ba'atzmai, and Rabbi Ba'aba is saying it's like Ula below Mincha and so forth. So one interesting Nafka Minna comes up is, to what extent are we saying the lack of tefillin when he's wearing Shema impinges on the actual mitzvah itself? If you say it's made Edis Shekhar Ba'atzmai, he's fully yotze the mitzvah of Kurishma. But it, as a side thing, there's made Edis Shekhar Ba'atzmai. However, we understand Ba'atzmai, as we said before. Mashenkin, if you say that it's like Ola B'loi Mincha V'Zevach B'loi Nesachim, means there's an essential component to the mitzvah itself that's missing. Yeah, and technically he is yotze the mitzvah, but there's something missing of it that there should have been there. So the Gemara continues. If a person wants to accept Ol Malchus Shemayim in the fullest possible way, first of all, Yifane, you should go to the bathroom, which of course means Bepashtos, that you should go to the bathroom so this way he doesn't have to interrupt later on in the middle of Shema, because that'll break up his Kabbalah Ol Malchus Shemayim. Yad Yosef also. Well, if a person has to go to the bathroom, if a person is really desperate and he has to go very soon, later on it talks about that in the next parak of this Masechta, it talks about the dinim, that a person is not even allowed to say Kriya Shema or Dvarim Shabbat Kedusha at a time like that. We're talking about he could go for a couple of hours yet or whatever, but still, like this, it's good for him to go to the bathroom first. And besides which also, so Yad Yosef in the corner over here brings that after all, when he's full of soya, then he's not really there's a part of his body that's not really being Makabal Omafus Shemai. So therefore, so there's something missing. It also means, though, that a person has to clean out the ruchniistic garbage that's inside his mind and whatever. So it includes all of that as well. So he does that. The yito yodav, then he washes his hands. V'yanich tefillin, v'yanich kriyashma v'yispal, put on tefillin, say kriyashma and daven. V'zuhi malchus shemayim shlema. Now, in that way, he's accepted malchus shemayim in the most perfect possible way. There's an interesting thing. Ben Yehoyada points out an interesting vort on this. He says there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin where Amgushi, which is one of the Persian Galochim of those days, now they had a belief in two gods. They believed there's a god of good and a god of evil. And they believed in particular that the human body is, you have the fact that a human being is in a certain sense close to the Malachim, that was done by the one. And then the fact that a person has behemish aspects to him comes from the other one. So Amemar says to him, you know what, look at that though. You see that that food goes in at one end of the body and comes out the other. So you see that the two halves of the body cooperate. So what do you mean that there were two different powers that created the two different parts? So Ben Yehoyada says, so now in the same vein then, what Rabbi Yochanan is saying over here, if a person is saying Shema and davening with Tzoya inside his body, in effect, he's giving a certain credence to the idea of that Amgushi, that there's a Tomei part and there's a Tahar part within his body and then never the twain shall meet. Mashenkin, when he cleans himself out, then he's showing, like Amema says, that no, it's all one to Neshama Shanasatabi Tahurahi and the Guf is Tahar and so forth, and there's no two Rishuris. So the Gemara continues. When a person follows that order, he goes to the bathroom, washes his hands, puts on tefillin, says Krishma and davens, mala all about kosuf ki the bonum is beach for hikruv olav korban. So now the Torah counts it for him as though he built a mizbeach and brought a korban on it. Shenemar. Erchatz b'nikoyin kapay, as the pasuk says, I will wash my hands with cleanliness. Va'asovva as mizbachecha Hashem, and I will circle around your mizbeach Hashem. So Marsha says, okay, we see the washing the hands. Where's the kriyashma tefillah? It seems to be talking about a korban. So he refers to that. There's the Masoda mentions you have you look in some printed editions of Nach. You'll find over there notes on the side and the back or whatever that give details in the Masoda. One thing they often do is they'll point out how many times does a certain word appear in Tanakh. which is useful, Pashut, in order to keep track. Like this, you'll realize that the word over here is supposed to be this way and not like a slightly different form or something. So it was meant to preserve the accuracy of the transmission of Tanakh. So it mentions that this word, so you have the word erchatz over here, erchatz min koyin kap, right? And you have later on in Tillim, you have also a pasuk ach riksi kisi levavi vo erchatz min koyin kap, right? So now you have everything. The word rik means empty, so it means that he emptied out his body of tzoya, like we were saying. Zikisi levavi, I purified my heart in order to daven, because davening is avodah shebalev. Erchatz benekoyin kapai, I've previously washed my hands, and so therefore you're covering everything that's over here. So therefore, by combining those two psukim, you see that now when he does achrik zikisi levavi va'erchatz benekoyin kapai, then that is considered like vasovas mizbach vashem, that I'm circling around your mizbeach, bringing a curtain. So the Gemara asks, Amalei Rava lo sovel amar ki'ilu tovel. So Rava asks Rav Chiya bar Abba, why are you saying that it's just as if he's bringing a korban? Why don't you consider it as if he? Why don't you say Mala Olav Akosu, that as if he toveled, and not just washed his hands. Amale Shapu Kamrit. So he says you have a good point. Dichtiv Erchatz Mini Koyen, but like Kosev Architz Kapai. The word Erchatz means I will wash myself, as opposed to Architz. Is more of a, it's called a transitive verb, poyo yotze l'shlishi, it's called in Sifri Dikduk, which means architz would mean that you wash something else. So if it said architz, it would mean to only wash something else, namely my hands. Erchatz means I will wash, I will bathe, meaning my entire body. So therefore, yes, when we're saying, even though it's only kap by his hands, but since it says erchatz instead of architz, then yes, it means that it's actually considered as though he toveled. Like a mikveh, yeah. So, further on, then the Gemara says, Omale Ravina Marob. Kilo, yeah, that's what we're saying, yeah. Yeah. Omale Ravina Marob, Chozi Mar Hait Surva Mirabon and Osama Mar Rabba. So Ravina says to Rabba, look, Rebbe, at this young Talmud Chacham who came from the west, from Eretz Yisrael, the Omar, and he says, Misha Ein Lemayim Luchetz Yod, if a person doesn't have water available to wash his hands before davening, Mekaneach Yod Ba'ofer, he can instead wipe his hands with dust, or with tzror, or on pebbles, or the kesmim, or on the chips of wood, and then he can daven. So is that so? What do you mean? I thought you have to wash your hands before davening. Omalei, so Rava tells him, Shapri Kamar, not what he's saying is correct. Miksib b'mayim, after all, the pasuk doesn't say erchatz b'mayim kapai. It says erchatz b'nikoyin, ksib kom yedid menaki. So anything that cleans your hands is good for that purpose. So there, and this is tacked to the halacha. Now you do have, the Gemara goes on to mention in the halacha part that what you do have is when it's the time to daven is not an appropriate time to be going and looking for water. And nowadays it's easy enough. You walk into the shul and there's a sink and you wash your hands and that's that. But back in the day, when you didn't have that, then when it's the time of davening, a person has no business going and searching around for water because it's time to daven. So then in that case, you should use this expedient that we're saying over here and just wipe his hands on something else and daven. Okay. The Gemara goes on to say, the Mishnah goes on to talk about the idea that if a person says Shema, v'lodiktik ba'osir seha, he wasn't medactic in the letters and the nekudas of Shema, so he's still yotzen. Nevertheless, the Gemara says a person does have to be medactic when possible. It's interesting, it's the one place in Shulchan Aruch where it ever talks about anything of diktuk is in Hilchos Krishma, where, for example, there it mentions, for example, after what nekudas you'll find a shvanna, and after which ones you'll find a shvanach. The only place that you have that concept mentioned in Shulchan Aruch is in Hilchos Krishna, in order to know how to pronounce it properly. So the Gemara mentions in this connection, Amar Rav Chama b'Rav Chanina, Kol HaKorah Krishma redacted by Yisrael, when a person says Krishma, and is particular with the letters of it, and he's particular to pronounce them carefully, mitzanin and loy gehenim. They cool off gehenim for him. Which means, now what do you mean cool off gehenim for him? Shouldn't he be getting olam haba for it? So I once saw a Gleich Vertel about it. The vote is, if this guy is so picky about the exact pronunciation, if he goes to Gan Eden, he may end up with he may be so picky about the details of it, he's going to turn Gan Eden into a gehenim, so better let him just send him to gehenim, but they'll cool it off for him. That's a Gleich Vertel, but more seriously, more seriously, some of the Mephoshim talk about the idea, since the person is, he's slowing down. He's like this, he would have a fire within him. I want to finish it as fast as possible. And instead he controls himself and slows down in order to pronounce it carefully. So therefore he gets the schar that even if he deserves a spell in Gehenna, it'll be cooled off for him. But Tzlach, and then some other Mephoshim talk about a different angle on it also.
Why cooled off? Why not slow down, sped up? You know what I mean.
Well, that's another word. Cooled off because like this, Gehenna is hot. So like Gehenna, he controlled his natural heat in order to slow down and say the words properly. So therefore,
that's the timing. Earlier.
Maybe okay, but that's not what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara is associating with the heat, the fact that a person has a natural heat to rush through things and he controls himself. The Tzlach also says an idea that we know there's an idea that sometimes you have great tzaddikim, when they pass away, they're brought to Gehenna, not to be brought into it, but in order to be mila other neshamas who are stuck in Gehenna, and they're able to schlep them out of there. It says famously, for example, about the Bach, that that he was able to accomplish that when he passed away, and it says it about other great tzaddikim. So therefore, the vote is, we're talking about somebody who himself was on a level to be schlepping out the neshamas from Gehenna. So therefore, before he gets there, they cool it off for him in the schar of him acting this way. Shenema, as the pasuk says, b'foreis shakai melachim b'tashleg b'tzalmon. The simple meaning of the pasuk is something like, b'foreis shakai melachim b'tzalmon, when Hashem spread out the kings in it, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, Tashlig, but Salmon's Shelig is white, so it means that the Jewish people are able to go into Salmon, into this deep, gloomy area, and become white and become cleaned up of their Averis in Eretz Yisrael. So in other words, in Posht Pshat, the way Mitzudis, for example, on the Pasuk explains it, it means, in other words, it's talking about when Hashem kicked the Goyish nations and their kings out of Eretz Yisrael and brought us Jewish people in there to take it over. But now the Gemara is darshaning. First of all, I'll take you before race, ela before reish. First of all, don't read the first word before race, which means to spread out or to break up, actually. Ela before reish, but to say explicitly, like befavorish. And I'll take you with salmon, ela betzalmavis, and don't read the word salmon, which just means a deep, gloomy, dark area, but rather salmavis, which is the shadow of death, which refers to Gehenna. So now, once we have those two altiquities, then we reread the pasuk. Before reish shakai, when a person pronounces clearly shakai, which Marsha points out, that name is specifically associated with Krishna, which is why we write it on the outside of a mezuzah, for example. So when a person enunciates clearly shakai, the name of Hashem that's embedded in Shema, melachim ba, and he does that with Shema, particularly, which is part of the Torah, which Rashi says, be malachim yimloichu, kings, the Pasuk says, rule by means of the Torah. The Torah gives them the power to rule. So when a person does that, tashleg b'tzalmon, so now, even if he ends up in Salmavis, in Gehenna, then tashleg, it'll be snowy and cool over there rather than hot. The Aruch gives a slightly different explanation. He says, malachim ba refers to Gehenna, where the Goyish kings wind up in over there in torment. So now, beforeish shakai, when a person is enunciating clearly shakai, melachim ba tashlig b'tzalmon, the place where the kings, where the goyish kings are suffering in the fire of Gehenna, for him it'll be tashlig b'tzalmavis. It'll be cooled off. It'll be cooled off and snowy for him over there. Since we mentioned one thing, Rav Chama b'Rav Chanina says, so as the Gemara often does, it mentions another word from him. V'amar Rav Chama b'Rav Chanina, lamun nismachu oyhalim menacholim. Why do we find in the Pasuk that Oihalim, tents, are mentioned next to Necholim, streams? So Rashi explains that we're... Streams.
Streams?
Streams. Streams of water. No. A Nachal is a stream of water. Right. Rashi explains that we have like this. In Bilam's Brachas, in the last Bracha that begins Matovu, the next Pasuk is Kinecholim Nitoyu, like flowing streams. And then a few words later, he says Ka'aholim Nota, like tents that Hashem planted. Rashi explains on the Pasuk over there that the word planted can refer to tents, even though usually you would talk about pitching a tent, but you can speak metaphorically of planting a tent in place. Anyway, that's Rashi's explanation. Tosfos, and also in Rashi over here in parenthesis, it brings from the Rashba, that the problem with that is that the aholim in the Pasuk over there, at least on Poshet Pshat, does not mean tents, but rather aloes. Tents would be the plant, like you have aloe vera, like they have in baby wipes and whatnot. So in other words, if the word was oholim with over the comets or oholim with a cholim, then yeah, we mean tents. Aholim means the aloe plant. So in other words, Bilam is comparing to the Jewish people to fragrant plants that are planted by the water. So in that case, then we're gonna point out that there's a comparison between tents, meaning the tents of Torah, where a person learns Torah, and streams. But if aholim in the pasuk means aloe plants, then what does that have to do with anything? So rather, they explain that we have matogu oihalecha Yaakov, which they're definitely oihalecha there means tents, and the next pasuk begins kinecholim nitoyu. That's the comparison the Gemara is making. So not within the pasuk kinecholim nitoyu itself, which continues kaholim not Hashem, but rather the fact that you have one pasuk that ends oihalecha that begins matogu oihalecha Yaakov, and the next one that begins kinecholim nitoyu. Anyway, the point is the Gemara is saying what's the point of putting one next to another, tents next to streams. So loy malach, it teaches you, just like streams of water can bring a person from being tomei to being tahor, a person tovels in the stream and that makes him tahor. Af oyhalim, the same thing, the tents of Torah, malam sa'adim, kaf choyva, kaf schus, they bring up a person from the side of Choyva to the side of Schus, meaning that learning Torah not only helps clean up the Averis that he did before, but also it helps him, it protects him in the first place from falling into Averis. The Gemara in Sota that talks about the Torah has the power, Magna Umatzla, it has the power to prevent a person, to save a person from doing Averis in the first place and to shield them from the consequences afterwards. So in that sense, therefore, they're like Necholim, which make a person able to become Tahor. Further on, the Gemara talks about the Mishnah mentions a case where a person is in the middle of Shema and makes a mistake and he loses track of where he's holding. So then the Mishnah says, Yachzor l'makom shetahor. So the Gemara mentions a din about this within a story. The Gemara says, Rab Ami v'Rab Asi have a pokatrin like none of Rab Elazar. Rab Ami and Rab Asi were preparing a chuppah for Rab Elazar. Katrin literally means they were tying. Gnona means a chuppah. So literally it means that they were tying together, they were attaching together the chuppah for Rab Elazar's wedding. So he tells them, while you guys are busy with that, meanwhile, while you guys are setting up the chuppah, I will go and listen to what's being taught right now in the Beis Medrash, and I'll come back and tell you. So you see, the Habona points out that you see you should never waste even a moment from learning Torah. Eitz Yosef says the same thing. You see that even in the short amount of time, how long is it going to take them to set up the chuppah already? But meanwhile, during that time, he can be using that time to accomplish something important. They say about some great gadol, I can't remember who now, that they asked him how to become so great. And he said in 5 minutes. What do you mean 5 minutes? 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there. It adds up. They say a similar story about somebody else. I believe it was Reb Moshe Feinstein, but I don't remember, where he used to make a siyum on Shas once a year or so, and then one time in the middle of the year he makes another siyum, and his talmidim are surprised that you learned it so fast. He tells them there was a separate thing where they often call on me to be Masada Kedushin or things like that, and inevitably there's a delay a few minutes. So I always took along with me a pocket-sized Gemara, and I'd sit and learn those few minutes. Over the years, those few minutes here and there have now added up to a whole other cycle of Shas. So yeah. He went to the Beis Medrash and he found that the Tana, where we know throughout Shas, a Tana in the time of the Amoraim means one of the people who were experts in the Mishnayos and Braisos, and they would say them by heart in the Beis Medrash, and then the Chachamim would discuss them. What? Mishnayos and Braisos. I mean, in general, the Amoraim are expected to know all the Mishnayos, so they shouldn't really need a Tana for them, but still sometimes they might have. But usually the Tana focuses on Braisos and would teach Braisos. He would repeat Braisos in the Beis Medrash, which, by the way, we find many times in Shas. These Tanoim, many times they had great skills in memorization, but not so much in understanding what they're saying. There's even a line the Gemara says in Sota about some of these people, the same way as a magician sometimes says his magic spells and has no idea of what he's saying. He just knows that the spell works. The same way some of these Tanoim, also all they know is to repeat the words without really understanding what they're saying. On the other hand, some of them we find were actual distinguished Talmid Chacham of their own, so there were all kinds. Anyway, here the Tana was teaching a Braisa in front of Rabbi Yechanan. cut of a tar, if a person is saying Shema and he makes a mistake, the any day lahecham tar, and he doesn't, he loses track of where he is, the emtza perek. So if when he remembers he's in the middle of one of the sections of Shema, yachzu chula, then he goes back to the beginning of that section. So for example, he chapsich in the middle of Bahayim Shemaya, let's say, then he returns back to the beginning of Bahayim Shemaya, and the Gemara goes, the Braisa goes and discusses several other cases. One interesting one being, suppose the person gets to Uchsavtam Amazuzas Pesecho Bisharecha and he loses track. Is he in the middle of the one in Vahafta or the one in Bahayim Shemaya? So then he should return to the one at the end of Vahafta. On the other hand, that continues. If though after saying Uchsavtam he starts saying Laman Yubu, then he can continue from where he is, because then he can assume that usually his tongue usually follows his hergel. So therefore, usually we know after the second one do you say Laman Yubu. So if he's already gotten as far as Laman Yubu, then he can assume that he knew what he was saying. So that was the whole braisa. Also for Amr Lahu. So Rabbi Lozer came and reported back to Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi what he had just heard in the Besfedush. Amr Lai, so they told him, Ilulai Banu Allah Shmaya Davazeh, even if we had come here to your chasana to hear only this one vort in Torah, Dayenu, it would have been enough for us. Further on, the Gemara talks about that the Mishnah goes on to mention that so technically a chosen is potter from Kriyashma for the first few nights because he's torud, because he's busy with the mitzvah of the wedding and the Be'ilas mitzvah, and what if he doesn't find his wife of Sula, and so on and so forth. But then the Mishnah says Rav Gamliel did say Kriyashma the first night he got married, and was Talmidim asked him why. He said, because I don't want to ignore Ol Malchus Shemayim for even one night. And then the Mishnah goes on to digress to talk about a couple of other unusual things that Rav Gamliel did, one of them being that when his slave Tovi died, then he sat Shiva for him and he was accepting Tanchumim. We know Tovi from all over the place in Shas. He slept under the bed in the sukkah, for example, because he knew that Avodim Apotter from the sukkah, but he still wanted to hear what the Chachamim are saying, and so on and so forth. So and they asked him, since when do you do that for an Eved? He said the Tovi is different. Kosher Hoyer. He was a Tamil Chacham, and therefore for him you can accept Tanchumim. So now the Gemara talks about that. Tonan Abanon. When an Eved or a Shifcha dies, an Eved Knani or Shifcha Knanis, we're talking about, that you don't stand in a row for them after the Levaya, you have the other people stand in rows over there on both sides, and the Ovel war and the Avelim walk in the middle and they say, Amok Minacham Eskim. So you don't do that when an Eved or a Shifcha dies. You don't say for them Birkas Avelim, which is when you have the Suda Savra, the first Suda after the Levaya. In those times, they would have it in the city square. And afterwards, they would say a special bracha called Birkas Rechava. So you don't do that. You don't do that for an Eved or a Shifa. And you also don't do Nichum Abelim. You don't say to them, Amokim Yinacham Eskim. And the Gemara said, and the Braisa says, Maiso Mesa Shifchose Shur Rabbi Yezer. It happened once that Rabbi Yezer's maid servant passed away. Nichnas the Tamidim from Nachamai. So his Tamidim came to me Menachem him because they thought that's what you're supposed to do. Nichnas Latraklin. So, sorry, I skipped the line. Kivin Shadra Osam. When he saw them, Olala Aliyah, he went up to the second floor of his house in order to get away from them. But they didn't get the hint. For Olala Achrab, they went after him. Nichnas Lan Pilon, he went into the foyer of his house. Nichnas Achrab, and they followed him over there also. Nichnas Latraklin, he went into the living room. Nichnas Achrab, and they also came after him. Amalahem, so finally he tells them, Timduma Li, Rani, Shatim Nichman Beposhim. Look what's going on over here. I thought that even warm water will be enough. You'll get burnt by it. In other words, a little warm water is splashed on you and you'll get the hint and then realize what's going on. Now I'm pouring boiling hot water on you and you're still not getting the hint. The fact, in other words, that I had to go to so many places. Rashi, by the way, says, that only when I went into the foyer, he says that would have been the poshrin, and you still didn't get the hint. Why didn't he mention when he went into the aliyah? So Anaf Yosef brings over here a long thing from the Tzlach. The gist is that the Talmud, that first Rebbe Eliezer thought, maybe the Talmudim are thinking that you're not obligated. We said before in the, they knew the Braisa, fine, you're not obligated to do Tanchumi Avelim for a Shifcha, but maybe they figured, fine, maybe as an optional thing, you could do it. So when he goes up to the Aliyah and they follow him, then he's not yet thinking, the fact that he goes away from them, he's not yet saying that amounts to saying don't bother. Then when he goes into that Anpila, though, then they should start getting the hint that it's not just you don't have to, but you shouldn't, and they still don't get the message. And even when he goes into the living room, they still don't get the message. He says, Loi kach shenisi lachem. Didn't I teach you in the Braisa? Avodim u'shvachas ein emir alayim b'shura. You don't stand in the shura after the levaya. Ve'ein emir alayim birkas avelim v'le'tanchumi avelim. You don't say the bracha of avelim. You don't say tanchumi avelim. Ela ma oimrim aleichem. So what do you say when a person's eved u'shivcha dies? You say k'shem shayim l'lodim asher debal chamor shemesu. The same way a person's ox or his donkey dies, you tell him amokim imalech esroincha me Hashem. Fill in what you're lacking. You lost a valuable asset. Now Hashem should help fill it in for you. Kach oimrim la'alav debal shivcha. You say the same thing for an eved and a shivcha, but not actual tanchumi avedim. So we're saying was Rav Gamliel and Tovi was an exception. Anaf Yosef points out, by the way, an interesting point. When we say to somebody, why are we using that in Nusach? Because we're telling them there's no making up for your loss. Your loss is irreplaceable. The only thing is, you can look forward to the Serech Sha'avelet Tzion Mishlaim when they are comforted, when Mashiach comes and there's Tchias HaMesim, then your loss will be replaced because then they'll have Tchias HaMesim. Mashiach, can a person's ox or his donkey die, they're not going to have Tchias HaMesim. So you can tell them, you know what though, they're replaceable. You lost one ox, you'll get a different one. The same thing with anything else. The same thing with an Eved of Shivcha. Therefore, you can tell them, Amokim Malach HaSrencha, you can expect that Hashem will fill in what you actually just lost. So the same thing by an Eved and a Shivcha. So the Gemara says, Tanya Yiduch, another Braisa says, Avodim u'shvachas ein maspidin oisam, but for an Eved or a Shivcha, you don't make a hespid for them. Rabbi Yossi says, no, in Eved kosher who, if he was kosher, and we don't necessarily mean kosher of the caliber of Tobi, just if he was a good guy, a hard worker, Oimer, Oimrim olav hoi ish tov v'neman v'nana miyigiyoi, woe about this, he was a good man, an honest man, and he had hana from his hard work. So the Chum said, you can't say that for an Eved. If that's the kind of hesped you do for an Eved, what greater things are you leaving over for the Kshedim, for the regular born Jews, that you're going to say greater things about them? Marsha points out, we learned earlier, we said, that a person who benefits from his hard work is greater in a way than a Yerushalayim. So if you're giving that title of Nanami Yigia to an Eved, then what are you leaving for the Kshedim? And in fact, lahalacha, the fact is, the guy is not really nenem yegiyoi in the sense that lahalacha, a master of an Eved Knani, has the right to say to the Eved, you have to work for me, but I'm not obligated to support you. You go and collect tzedakah because Jewish people have a mitzvah to give to support the Avodim Knanim also, since an after all, Eved Knani is chayiv in some mitzvahs. So you can't really say that the Eved Knani is really benefiting from his hard work in the sense that the fact that the master gives him anything is a chesed. So therefore, the Chacham is saying to Rabbi Yossi, that's not really an appropriate expression to use on an Eved. In connection with Tovi, by the way, the Medrash says that you think about it, Knan, from last week's parasha, could have had many descendants who were of great caliber like Tovi. But because he messed up and because he did what he did with Noach, therefore he caused such a loss for all of them that they wind up having to be Avodim. Yom Yom Mashiach Gola. Vav Cheshvin. The Rambam explains that in the Geras Taman that after that there's going to be a point when Nevuah returns to the Jewish people, and that's the preface to Mashiach coming. So now that means specifically Mashiach himself is going to have the power of Nevuah. In fact, the Rambam himself explains in Hilchos Teshuva that he'll be a great Navi almost of the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, Medrash Tanchuma actually seems to imply that Mashiach will be a greater Navi than Moshe. So there's a Sicha in Makut HaSichas in Chelik Vav where the Rebbe discusses the ins and outs of it. But Va'od Sarachi, the Rebbe says in the Sicha of Shoftim Nun Aleph, we discuss this whole point of Nevuah and Mashiach, that it's Oid Sarachi, what the level of Mashiach's Nevuah is going to be, greater than Moshe or almost like Moshe.
Doesn't that mean wait and see?
Wait and see, basically, I guess. Oid Sarach Lave, that's also true, yeah. Okay, the next few...
They basically went to a different level in Kedusha, and they follow him in Kedusha, Aliyah, and
could be.
And then when he see, and then he told him, I saw that you're not able to reach to the lower level, and now I see
that you're thinking you can reach even the higher levels, could be. All right, the next few halachas over here, let's run through halacha quickly. The next few halachas over here talk about various things involving worms and food. Lamaisa, I mean, anybody finds worms in their food nowadays, they're just going to throw it out. So it's not necessarily negea, but you do have the various, he goes on to talk about various kinds of vegetables and fruits that they may have other kinds of bugs in them. And there you have the issue of checking them. And then you get into the whole issue nowadays of there may even be some kinds of vegetables which are so muchsik in bugs that you can't even necessarily eat them b'chlal. They talk about, for example, broccoli, cauliflower, maybe strawberries, various other kinds of things that you have real shilas about them. You buy them frozen, maybe there's less of a shila, but if you buy them fresh, then you have real problems with them. Rabbi Chananah ben Akasha, Emetz, Akash Baruch Hu, Zakas Yisrael, Lefichu B'lam Tamitzu, Shnei Ma'ad, Anecha B'tzman.